I just require 8 hours sleep.
Did you ever hear about that?
Aren't you glad some doctor told you that different people require different amounts of sleep? And so everybody becomes an 8 hour. No, the honest, simple truth is you don't need any more sleep than I do. And you don't need any more sleep than anybody else. The reason you need sleep, because you've got so much stuff under the side of that fat belly of yours. You waddle when you walk. You can't say no to the pizza, and you can't say no to the Coca-Cola bottle, and you can't say no to the candy, and you can't say no to the cookies, and you can't say no to the banana pudding, and I can't either say no to banana pudding. But nobody's perfect, and you can't say no. And you just, your stomach's one big garbage can, and your mouth is one big dispose-all unit, and so you get fat and waddle when you walk, and you're lazy and you won't work, and so you go to bed, and you sleep and you sleep and you, well, anybody in your shape would need 8 hours sleep. 10 hours. 12 hours. Discipline. Discipline. Self-discipline. Many would like to become musicians. They're not willing to pay the price for the hour. I think it's Igor Gorin, is the way you pronounce it, was a great singer. Studying. Be a great singer. He loved to smoke a pipe. One day his teacher said to him, Mr. Gorin, you're going to have to decide whether to be a great pipe smoker or a great singer. And he said, I'll be a great singer. The pipe smoking will go. I used to tell about Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. talked about Joe Louis when he was heavyweight champion. Old Joe Louis was training for a fight. So a chocolate pie, if I bring a chocolate pie in. A chocolate pie would say, eat me, Joe. Eat me, Joe, eat me. You know, Joe would say, I can't eat you. I want to be a champion. I want to be a champion. I can't do it. I want to be a champion. And there was on the inside of Joe Louis the desire to be a champion. He couldn't eat the chocolate pie. Dr. Billings said that somebody brought him a chocolate pie one time. There's a chocolate pie. And Dr. Billings said, I can't eat. I want to be a champion. I want to be a champion. And he said, I want to be a champion chocolate pie eater. That's what I want to be. Of course he was kidding. Of course he was. But that's what's wrong with this generation. Discipline, a lack of it. The brilliant young person may dazzle his way to prominence for a while, but later he'll sleep while the turtle passes him in the race. Thomas Edison said, I tell myself when to sleep and I tell myself when to get up. And that's one of the great secrets to my success. The Apostle Paul said, I keep my body under. President Case of Boston University said, if you want to become a specialist in New Testament literature, you must say goodbye to the comics forever. I'm saying, if you're going to become a success, you've got to find out the ingredients to it, and you've got to say, I will decide what I do, and I will pay the price. I will control my appetites. I will control my desires. I will control my time. I will control my schedule. Listen, I don't care how much you can sing, how well you can sing, how good a preacher you are. I don't care how good the tongue you have, how eloquent your speech is, or how good an orator you are. I don't care if you speak with the tongues of men or of angels. If you do not learn to discipline yourself, you'll be a failure as a pastor. You'll be a failure. He said, the hounds, I have talent. All fooey on talent. How about some character for a change? Now the question comes. Preacher, how do you get discipline? Number one, begin with your tongue. Begin with your tongue. Begin with your tongue. The Bible says in James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Begin with your tongue. You said, Brother House, I'd like not to gossip, but I have a critical nature. So do I. So do I. And so does everybody else. But you've got, don't be writing a bunch of notes down. Listen, I'm preaching. I'm not teaching anything to you. I'm preaching. You can get the tape. I need the money anyhow. But don't spend it writing. I want you to listen to what I've got to say. I'm not trying to inform you. I'm trying to shake you good and hard and say, be disciplined. Begin with your tongue. Go home tonight and stick your tongue out. In some cases, be sure you got plenty of room between you and the mirror. Look at it and say to it, from now on, I control you. I'm going to bridle you like a man will bridle a horse. The wise man said in Psalm 29, verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind. At times you shouldn't speak. Utter all your mind, you're a fool. So you ought to control your tongue. You don't have to be critical. You don't have to be. So is she just a critical type person? Every person in this room is a critical type person. Every person. My Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And I want to get back at folks who get at me just like you do, except I don't do it because I control my tongue as best I can. I'd like to seek revenge like you do. I'd like to tell somebody like you do what I think about the fella that slandered me. But it doesn't do any good, and I want to be a disciplined person, and you never will. You never will be disciplined, but you learn to control your tongue. Stick your tongue out and say, old buddy, or old gal, whichever it is, stick it out and say, I am going to tell you what to say. You said the last thing. You've spoken for the last time on your own. I'll control you from now on. You are my servant. You'll obey me. I will not let you control me. You will never be disciplined until you start with the tongue. Start with the tongue. A critical person, listen, a person who will criticize is a person that will oversleep. A person who will criticize is a person that will overeat. A person who will criticize is a person that will overindulge in every other appetite. Why? Because if you want to be disciplined, you start with your tongue. Then, after you get your tongue, go to your body. Discipline your body. That means eat the right food. Now, you can laugh at me, and you will. You can make fun, and you will. And you can call me old fogey, and you will. But you mark it down, brother. There are many of you folks right here tonight who could do twice the work you do if you wouldn't spend so much time eating all this junk that you eat and pouring garbage and trash down your stomach and getting twice as much, big as you ought to be, and you waddle when you walk, and you can't say no, and little old pizza says, you eat me. You say, I won't eat you. Yes, you will eat me. Smell of me. I will not eat you. Just take one good look at me, and before you know it, you're eating the pizza. I hate to think that one little old pizza could control my will. I hate to think I'd have enough character. Brother, I want to say to any appetite there is in this world, I'll satisfy you when I get good and ready. Some of you folks tonight, the low cigarette, about that tall, or if it's a Benson and Hedges, it's more like that. But about that big is your idol. Your idol. Can't quit it. One fellow said to me yesterday, I'm cutting a half down a week. If I were you, I'd get that cigarette, and I'd stick it up right there like that, and I'd say, buddy, I want to have a talk with you. If you think something that weighs less than an ounce and stinks, and dogs love it, and some hogs, and some human hogs, if you think you're going to control me, you've got another thing coming. I'll tell you what to do. You're not going to be my master. But you not doing what I want. I'm trying to quit smoking, and I just almost went crazy. Go crazy then. You're already crazy if a little thing like that controls you. Good night. What's wrong with you? Same thing with the liquor bottle. Man came to my office and said, I just can't quit. I can't. I'd hate to think a big fellow, 6 foot tall, weighs 175 pounds, could lick half the folks in this room. And by the way, got enough courage to beat his wife. One little old beer bottle. One bottle of beer. I don't know about you. I'm not going to have something that size. Says you've got to obey me. You've got to bow down and worship me. That's Tom. No wonder our country's going to the devil. Can't say no to a whiskey bottle. Can't say no to a beer bottle. And some of you the same way about coffee. I'm not preaching against coffee, but I'll guarantee one thing. If I had to have it, I'd dead sure quit it. If I had to have anything, I'd dead sure quit it. I don't care what it is. If I got hung up on carrot juice and had to have it, I'd quit it. Discipline. Say to your body, I am your king. I'll rule you. That means overeating. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Did you hear that? All things are lawful in me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Say to food, I'll eat you when I need you. I'll decide when to eat you. Say to sleep, I'll eat you. I'll eat you. I'll sleep when I get ready to sleep. You just step aside till I get ready for you. Say to other appetites, I'll control you. You will not make me a slave. After you've gotten your tongue cared for and your body cared for, then go to your schedule, your time. Your time. Number one under that, be on time everywhere you go. Be on time. A fellow said to me, they live 25 miles from this church. Said, I can't be on time. I'm a Sunday school teacher, but I can't be on time. I live too far. Now he lives about six blocks. He's as late as he ever was. No, you aren't late because you live too far. You're late because you haven't got enough character to be on time. Some young folks get demerits because you're late to class and late to class and late to class. And then you say, I didn't do anything bad. All I got demerits for is being late. Late is sin! You want to mount to something, be on time. That's one reason why it's 1 minute before the service starts, 1 minute before the time this service is to start, I send those men out of my office and say, send the choir in. And you can almost set your watch, brother, for the time that choir walks through that door. I mean, they walk through at 10:45 on Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Sunday night. If these men do what I tell them to do, they walk through. Why? Because if we start 5 minutes late and we have 4,000 folks here, that's 20,000 minutes we've wasted of human time. Start with your tongue. Go to your body. And then work on your time. Live by schedule. Live by schedule. I don't have a boss hovering over me all the time. I work for God. In a sense, I work for you. But nobody's with me all the time to say, you've got to do such and such. So I made me one. And that's my schedule. When I was preparing for this sermon, I was in a motel room. I was so sleepy, I could hardly hold my eyes open. I almost propped my eyes open with toothpicks while I was studying and preparing and so forth. Why? Because that's the time I've set aside as work time. And if I set some time aside as work time, I'm going to work. But I'm always drowsy. Well, then get undrowsy. Or work while you're drowsy. I just sit down. When I go to church, I just have to go to sleep. No, you don't have to go to sleep anymore. Anybody else has to go to sleep. When I study, I get drowsy. Okay, then study while you're drowsy. But work when you're supposed to work. And set aside the time you're supposed to play. And play when you decide to play, when you need to play, when your schedule allows you to play. Work on your time. Work on your meditation time. Set some times to meditate. By the way, you set times to think, and you decide what you think about. That's one reason I take a trip in a car. I sit down before I or on a plane, anything else. I plan what I'm going to think about. You know why? You drive down the street, you see a sign that says, drink Pepsi Cola. Think young. Drink Pepsi Cola. Is that think young? Pepsi or Coca-Cola? Think young. Pepsi. Think young. Pepsi Cola. And you start thinking about young. You say, how old am I? Man, I'm 35. I'm middle-aged. I'm not young anymore. 35. Good night. So, it doesn't seem like that's been long since I was in high school. High school. We were getting out of high school. That boy I went with. That's Larry. Man, I wonder what he's doing now. I think he's in California. California. I'd track it in California. Sure is a nice state. Oh, the temperature is nice out there. Temperature. Boy, temperature sure is cold here in Hammond. Boy, the snow on the ground. Snow. I sure like to have some snow ice cream. I'll tell you, long time. Ice cream? Oh, I love ice cream. A chocolate almond is my favorite. Almonds? Oh, they're sure good for protein. Protein? Beef is also good for protein. Beef? You can't get any good beef. And prices sure have gone up nowadays. Prices gone up? Good night, I need a haircut, but I can't afford it. And before you know it, one little Pepsi Cola ad has controlled your mind for a whole trip. I won't. You live like that if you want to. I won't. I stick my tongue out of Pepsi Cola ad. I'll decide what I think about. So I make me an outline. Why? I'm not going to let a bunch of advertisements beside the road tell me what I'm supposed to think about. Listen to me. I don't care what kind of business you're in. If you're a failure, it's not because the brakes went against you. And it's not because people mistreated you. And if you're a success, it's not because you were lucky. It's not because you're fortunate. It's because some people have the stick-to-itiveness to hang on like a bulldog to the seat of your britches, brother, and say, I'm going to so discipline my life, I'm going to so bring into subjection my body, I'm going to so control my appetite, I'm going to control these hands, I'm going to control these eyes, I'll tell them when to sleep, I'll tell them when to be awake, I'll not go to sleep because I can't stay awake, I won't do it. I'll tell my mouth when to eat. I'll tell my tongue what to say. I'll tell my feet when to walk. I'll tell my feet when to run. I'll tell my stomach what to eat. I'll not be a slave to appetite and external stimulus. I'll not do it. I'll control it. Not a person here couldn't do twice what he's doing now. He would if he'd schedule himself. Bring his body under subjection. That means control your time. When I started preaching, by the way, that also means concerning time, no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to success. The high school student, now don't get mad at me because some of you, it's going to affect some of you. The high school student that wants to graduate in 3 years instead of four is taking a shortcut, that'll hurt you one of these days. Now, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to get back at anybody. I'm trying to talk to you high school students. The shortcut to a high school diploma is not the successful way in life. The shortcut to marriage. I want to get married early. Married and I'm 17 or 18 or 19 and get married early. That's not it. Wait till the fruit ripes on the vine before you pluck it. These shortcuts. Shortcut to success. There's no such thing. Take things as they come. Spend the time you ought to spend in high school and college and go to get your diploma when you should and get your college diploma when you should and get married when you should. And let things ripen. Don't always be taking shortcuts. When I was a young preacher, there was a fad around the country of youth revival. There were some famous young men, 18, 19, 20 years of age, preaching to great crowds of 10,000, 15,000 people around the country. They were popular. Press covered them. Radio, television covered them. No television in those days, thank God. But radio covered them. I decided not to do that. I decided to go out to a little country church and lay a brick at a time on my ministry. I decided to start at the bottom. I decided, and by the way, from 19 members up to the membership of this church right now, there's no number you can name that I haven't had sometime in my ministry. One brick at a time. When God gets ready for me, I won't have to take a shortcut. Just one brick at a time. And young men, going out to preach the gospel, you'll be a lot better off and a lot wiser if you'll start at the bottom and work your way up and lay every brick on the foundation rather than wanting to go to some big place and be a big shot and preach to a big crowd to start off with. No shortcuts. George Zaris over here at Aurora, building a church, one of the great churches in this Northland, Midwestern part of the country now, went off to Tennessee Bible College. Came back home just a few weeks after he started the college and said, I want to quit college. I said, why, George? He said, because the country's going to hell and I've got to get out and save it. And I said, George, the truth is it may not go to hell before you get out of school. Now go back to college and get your degree and prepare yourself and lay your foundation and then go out. And he said, I want to quit. And I got mad and I said, then get out. He said, okay, preacher, I'll do it. Went back to college. Let himself ripen, laid the foundation. Then went to Aurora, Illinois. And the rest is legend, is what God has done to that young man and for that young man in Aurora. Listen, the spoil is not to those that take the shortcuts. The get-rich-quick crowd will not stay rich long. And the get-successful-quick crowd will not stay successful long. The thing that will make you successful is if you build your life around a set schedule and control of yourself and control of your appetites and control of your time. John Wesley said, I am always in haste, but I am never in a hurry. I am always in haste, but I'm never in a hurry. After you've gotten your tongue straightened out, your body, your time, work on your mind. Paul said, gird up your mind. Feed it right. Say to your mind, I'm your general. I'll decide what you read. But the eyes say, I want to watch that Playboy magazine. You say, eyes, get your mind off that dirty magazine. I'll beat the devil out of you. Start not to say that, but that's what it needs. That's what's in most of your mind, the devil. Dirty magazine. Dirty story. filthy thoughts. Some of you men right here, pardon me, some of you males right here tonight, you can't even look at a decent, pure woman without having some vulgar thought run through your mind. But you say, Brother Hunt, isn't it true that a man can't help it? That is not true. A man can't help it. You can be decent. You can have a pure mind. You can refrain from dwelling on filth and soot all the time. Be ashamed of myself if I didn't have enough control and discipline to keep myself from looking at a decent, pure, sweet woman without having some evil thought. I'd be ashamed that if I couldn't go to the magazine stand and buy the newspaper without taking a little peek every now and then, some naked woman on the front of some Penthouse or Playboy magazine. I'd be ashamed. Ashamed. Young man came to my office not long ago. He said, Pastor, he said, my sin is these X-rated movies. As far as I'm concerned, every movie out of Hollywood ought to be X-rated. X-rated movies. Why, he said, every once in a while I have to see one. You don't have to see one. You don't. You don't have to read the dirty stories. You don't have to look at the lewd pictures. You don't have to look up and down every woman you see to see what kind of legs she has and what kind of figure she has and what kind of bosom she has and what kind of dress she has on and how much of you can see. You don't have to do that. There's a better way to live than that kind of garbage and filth. Rise above it, young man. You know, how can I overcome it? Become the general of the army of your body. Control your appetite. Tell your eyes what to see. Tell your mind what to think. Tell your hands what to touch. Tell your feet where to go. Tell your tongue what to say. Tell your ears what to hear. Tell your eyes what to see. But you know how we're swept up in a permissive society. So was Joseph in Potiphar's house. So was Daniel in Babylon. So were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Brother, every society since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was a permissive society. Never has been easy to do right. Remember that? It's harder to do right than ever has been. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe it for a minute. It's always hard to do right. But you young men can have the courage and the intestinal fortitude to stay clean and keep your mind clean and keep your body clean and keep your appetites under subjection. You can, you can, you can, you can. A school teacher said to me not long ago, a school teacher said, well, I want to do it, but I just can't do it. Oh, you know better than that. You can do it. Can do it. I'm almost 50 years old. I've been preaching and hollering and screaming across this country for 30 years. I doubt if there's any three people in this room have any more total to do than I have to do. I don't think Mr. Ford himself carries more things on his shoulders than I carry on mine. But I'm not going to live the kind of life. I just can't get up in the morning. It's just so hard for me. You ought to see me. I wish you could come to the motel room, especially on Wednesday morning about 4 o'clock. When I got to get up after sleeping about 3 hours maybe and a hard weekend and preaching on Monday and Tuesday, I wish you could just have a movie of me getting up. Alarm goes off. I was in West Virginia this week. I'm sorry. Week before the pastor's school. Where was I? Forget where I was. Alarm went off. I went to the door of the motel room, answered the door. Alarm still going off. Went back to bed. I also told the folks to call me. And in case the alarm didn't go off, to call me from the desk. They called me from the desk. Telephone rang, got up, went to the door again. Said to myself, boy, that's a funny time of the night. He's playing tricks on a fella. Ringing the doorbell. No ring on the doorbell. No doorbell. Just the door there. Crawled back in bed, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that was getting up time. And I said to my foot, get up. My foot said, I don't feel led to get up. And I said to my eyes, open! And my eyes said, I can't open. Time and time again, I've gotten my eyes and pried them open like that and said, get up. And I've gotten my body and I said, get up, you old lady. Get up, you old foot. Get up, get up.
I'm just the type that finds it hard to get up.
You're just a lazy, trifling, undisciplined type. That's what you are. Good-for-nothing, slothful, wicked, lazy servant. Do you ever notice in the Bible the Lord said wicked and slothful servant right in the same breath? Being slothful and lazy is wicked. I mean wicked like drinking. I mean wicked like adultery. I mean wicked like homosexuality. I mean wicked like stealing. I mean wicked like murder. Work on your mind. Love your enemies and your critics. Say to yourself, you're not going to fight back. You're not going to retaliate. You're not going to seek revenge. Say to your temper, temper, you've had it. You've had it. But I just have a hot temper. Oh, come on. Everybody has a hot temper. Isn't it convenient for you to say, I'm just one of those that needs 8 hours sleep? I'm just one of those that has a hot temper. I'm just one of those that has a lustful mind. No, you're no different than the rest of us, except one difference, and that is you haven't got enough character to make yourself do what you ought to do. Say to your temper, listen, I hardly ever really throw a fit of temper. That's the truth. But I'll guarantee you one thing, boy, I've got a temper. I've got one. You say, well, the house, how do you control it? I just grab it with the neck and choke it to death. We were in London, England, on a trip in London. I promised my folks a good trip. 64 of you people here tonight were there. I promised my folks a good trip. They promised me in London, England, and all around the trip we took to the Holy Land. They promised first-class rooms, private baths for everybody, first-class rooms. We got to the hotel in London, and he gave us rooms where we had to walk down the hall to bathrooms. I had a private bath because I was head of the tour. My people had to walk down the hall to bathrooms and second-rate kind of rooms. And I said to the fellow who owned that hotel, manager of it, I said, you lied to us. You told us you'd give us first-rate rooms. You told us you'd give us private baths for everybody. I promised my people, they spent their life saving some of them on this. And that fellow looked at me and he said, that's the trouble with you Americans. You're rotten to the core. When he said that, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know a single thing except I wanted some of his hide under my fingernails. That's all I knew. I want to see blood. Red became my favorite color, and British red became my favorite color of red. I jumped across the counter. I said, you come here to... Uh-oh, I just bought me a shirt. I think. And a lot of folks... either his shirt ripped or his neck ripped. One or the other. I'm not sure which it was. And do you folks remember that? You had to pull me off that guy. Remember that? You folks were there. Why? I lost my temper. That's why. You say, was it wrong? Never is wrong when I do it. It's wrong when you do it. Sure, I've got a temper. Last softball game I pitched, I tried to kill a fella. He got mad at me, called me a name. I got mad at him. And I said, next time you get up, you're going to get it. He got up. He left-handed first baseman, about 6'4". I took that ball and put that ball out of him at his head. And when I aimed for a head, I hit the head. Now I aimed for a certain part of the head. I hit that certain part of the head. That ball went right toward his head. If he hadn't ducked and the bat got between that ball and his head, he'd have killed him. And he ducked and the bat hit the ball and dribbled down the first base line. He came down the line running at the first base, and I came down to field the ball. I didn't even look at the ball. I just tackled him. Boy, we had it right there. I mean, I was pastor of a church. I was pastor of a church right there in town. There I was on the first base line fighting a fella. What did you do? I quit softball after I beat the fire out of it. I got up, walked back to the mound, put my glove on that mound, walked out, got in the car, drove home. That's the last softball game I pitched. Why? I'm not going to go around the country losing my temper, making a fool of myself. Character. Integrity. Say to your temper, I'm the general. Somebody said that Coleridge could have been as great as Shakespeare But after he died, they found hundreds of unfinished manuscripts. Finish every task. Finish every task. All across this nation. I've signed millions, I guess, of Bibles. It seemed like millions every week. I signed Jack Hiles, Daniel's Welfare. I was in Joplin, Missouri one day, ate lunch at the holiday, at the Howard Johnson, went to my room. I signed Jack Hiles. Before sign your name and your room number, I signed Jack Hiles, Daniel 12-3, on the ticket at the restaurant. They called my room, said, "This Dr. Jack Hiles." I said, "Yes, it is." They said, "Are you in room 123? I said, "No." "Is your middle name Dan?" I said, "No." "Well," they said, "you got Dan 123 here." I thought, oh, my soul. Instead of signing my room number, I signed Daniel 123. When I signed my name, often I've signed Jack Kyle. Sometimes that A in Jack, I won't finish. I won't make it touch. And usually, immediately, I'll say, "Here, let me have that Bible back." And I'll sign it. And I'll make that A meet up there at the top. Sometimes I don't do it. Sometimes I've announced in church services before. Look at your Bible. Everybody, I signed your Bible. Look at it now. Look at the A up there. If that A doesn't touch, see me after service. I had 16 folks one night come back to get me to finish up their A's. Now, look, don't look at your Bibles. I haven't got time to do all of that. Don't remind me. But why? There's something on the inside of me. I started a job I didn't finish. I did something I didn't do right. I didn't finish that A. I must finish that A. Why? I couldn't have slept that night. That's why. You cowards that start the college and quit. Finish! Some of the most talented men I know are going to wash out of the ministry one of these days because you didn't have the courage and gumption to stick it out. You didn't finish. Some little fella that can't make a speech gets a tape recorder and plays it in the background and moves his lips in first-class speech. One of these days he's going to rise to the top while you talented people didn't have enough grit and gumption to stay in school are going to stumble and fall and be failures in the ministry. Same thing's true with other professions also. Walter Courtenay once said, "I feel I owe a debt or a double duty to life. I feel I owe a double duty to life. A solemn duty to my ancestors and a pressing duty to my descendants." Now listen. A lot of people have gone before who've invested in my life. My pastors, my Sunday school teachers, my mother, people who've gone on to heaven, many of them, they invested in my life. And there are many folks that are going to follow me. My children, your children, my grandchildren, and your grandchildren. I'm only on the stage for 70. I've already been 70 on the stage. My curtain only has about 1/3, if I live my normal lifespan, about 1/3 of its performance left. I only have one time to cross this stage. The curtain on my life might be pulled tomorrow. God may give me 20 or 30 more years. I don't know. But regardless of how many years I have left, my performance is way over half over. And I'll be gone. Somebody else will fill this pulpit. Somebody else will sit behind my desk. Somebody else will travel across this country. I'm only here once. I don't know about you. But I'm not going to sleep my way through the performance. I'm not going to eat my way through the performance. God, for some reason or other, 49 years and 6 months ago, 3 days ago, 49 years and 6 months ago, God, for some reason or other, allowed a little 11-pound-and-a-half boy to be born in this Texas. For some reason or other, God let that little boy be reared in a drunkard's home. For the godly mother. For some reason or other, he put him next door. Or 2 houses. A fundamental Baptist church. For some reason or other, he led across his path godly pastors, godly Sunday school teachers. And that little boy, for some reason or other, was brought into this world. He only has a few years to live. Brother, he may not have much to give it, but he's going to give it all he has while he's here. There's a reason for my life and for yours. Brother, I'm going to dig mine out. I'm going to find it. And I'm not going to lay in bed till 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning with one life to live. Good night! I want to get up and find out why I've been made for today. There's something I'm supposed to do today. I've got to find out. And I won't find it snoozing. I'm not going to spend my life down at the hamburger joint eating some more French fried onion rings. Somebody asked me tonight, said, "You, what is Shakey's a good place to eat?" I don't even know what Shakey's is, unless it's somebody's got palsy. I don't know what Shakey's is. You never have been to Shakey's? I don't know what the Shakey's sells, hot tamales or tortillas, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, popcorn, pizza, or chicken fried steak. I don't know. Say, "You against Shakey's?" "No, I'm not against Shakey's. God bless him. Let him shake all he wants to shake." But I got one life to live, and I'm not going to spend it down at Shakey's, whatever it is. Now, I'll get sued by Shakey's, whatever it is, for this sermon. Somebody said, "Have you heard?" "No, I haven't heard. I'm too busy to hear." "Did you know?" "No, I didn't know about him either." "Why?" "I don't blow the spit and whittle club, that's why. I got too much to do to sit around." "Did you hear about her?" "Yeah, she had her baby. It was Caesarean." "I don't care if it's Pollock. I'm not going to sit around listen to it." "Did you know she's married again?" Heard about the fella said, his wife came and said, "You know what happened to my mother?" Said, "A bear attacked her." Said, "Come and help out." He said, "That bear got himself in that trouble, let him get himself out of it." I don't belong to that sitting and whittling, talking and gossiping. And, "Paul, did you know about Brother Fitz?" "No, I don't know about Brother Fitz. I have a life to live, and I'm not going to spend it talking about people. I'm not going to spend it laying around. I'm not going to spend it sound asleep. Brother, if I ever decide to sleep a long time, I'm going to set my alarm every hour and wake up and enjoy it a while. Go back to sleep." And then I asked, "Did you ever have any?" "No, I never had any." "You bet you didn't have much fun." "That's all I have is fun. I like what Joe Namath said. I can't wait till tomorrow because I'm getting better looking every day." Joe Namath and I have something in common. We both can't wait till tomorrow. That's all we have in common. I'm not very good looking, but I dead sure can beat old Joe Namath, I guarantee you. I mean, look, folks. I mean, we're alive. This is our generation. We're here. We're on the scene. We'll be gone after a while. The curtain is pulled. The performance is started. We are the actors, performers of this generation. Boy, I want to make my mark. I want to make it worthwhile for all those people that taught me when I was a kid. And by the way, I want to leave it as good as I can for those who follow me. Just one life. That's all I have. That's all you have. Most of you can't wait till a holiday so you can have a picnic. Not against picnics. Not fighting them. I'm saying we play too much. We spend too much time eating and drinking and playing and marrying and giving. And I'm not against it. I think you ought to. I think you young folks ought to have some social life. I think you ought to have girlfriends and boyfriends and have dates that's as normal as can be, and I'm for it. But you ought to know when not to have some dates, too. And you ought to know when not to play. You ought to say, all of us ought to say, one life to live. And I have some tools that God has given me. And
I am your general. You will obey me. You may decide you want to touch something you shouldn't touch, but I'll push you back and I'll slap you away from it. As you'll see what I tell you to see. If I have to, I'll gouge you out, or I'll let you send my soul, condemn my soul, my life to hell. Ears, you will hear what I tell you.
Well, House, there's something about rock music. I just have to hear it.
Yeah, your kind has to do everything the appetite say do. No conviction. No discipline. No restraint. None. Pete, you don't have to dance. You don't have to lead me into sin. You'll obey me. I'll tell you what to do and where to go. Tom, you'll say what I tell you to say. And now, you'll eat what I tell you to eat. And stomach, you'll take in what I tell you to take in. That's why our Lord chose to call us the disciplined ones. What you going to leave? What are you going to leave? When you're gone. The discipline one. I keep my body in subjection. I buffet my body daily. Our Lord said, if you're going to follow him, you've got to deny yourself. Deny yourself. And forsake all. And follow him. Discipline. Discipline. That's really what it's all about. That's what built McDonald's hamburgers, and that's what built Howard Johnson, and that's what built this church, and that's what built Jerry Falwell's church, and that's what built John Rice's church, and that's what rears good family, good children and families. That's what rears decent young men, and that's what makes a fella rise to the top. It's discipline. Self-restraint. Have you ever noticed, you heard about somebody, and you find out, you see him, and you say, what in the world is he? How did he do it? He's not good looking. He's not big. He's not strong. How did he do it? He was the king of his appetite. That's how he did it. He was the king of his body. The king of his members. And you can be too. And if you don't learn it somewhere along the line,